You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
First and Pod, hosted by Danny Parkin and Andrew Filippone.
Dolphins, Bills, Skylar Thompson show. When the Brady to Miami rumors start, as soon as they lose the game, what are we going to say about them?
Because you know that's what's going to happen as soon as they lose.
Yeah.
So yeah. What will you say about that? What will be your take on Brady going there?
That makes all the sense in the world. Before the year, my take on what Miami did was I respected the hell out of it. Because I was like, they put themselves into a situation where there was absolutely no way that they wouldn't have an answer on whether or not Tua was good by the end of it. Because they had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Mike McDaniel, and they kept Gesicki, and they brought in Armstead, and they signed a couple of running backs and Mostert. Like they did everything you could possibly want to do to support a quarterback. And so if they were good with Tua, great. And if they were bad, then Tua's not good enough. And then Tua proved to be pretty damn good. And they were pretty damn good with Tua. And then without Tua, they weren't that impressive. The caveat that I didn't see coming was two diagnosed and three actual concussions. And Tua's career maybe being in jeopardy. But what I had said before the year was, if Tua was bad, they'd be the most desirable place in the NFL to play. Who wouldn't want to go to South Beach with two number one receivers, a franchise left tackle, and an offensive-minded head coach? So, yeah, I expect Brady to love going back to the AFC East to stick it to Belichick twice a year and to go head-to-head with the Bills who he owns and to throw to those receivers. And he tried to do it before. So, yes, I think that it's reasonable and I think it's a great spot for him or Derek Carr or whoever the hell, or Aaron Rodgers or whoever the hell ends up there.
Aaron Rodgers? You think that's on the table?
No, I mean, I think the contract is probably untradeable. My point is that if the Miami Dolphin quarterback job is open, There's probably 25 quarterbacks in the NFL minimum who would say that's a better situation than the one I'm in.
So I think that Brady has to look at a team like Miami differently than other quarterbacks, because I think right now we've learned with like the Bengals and how last year it was weapons over protection and they had a terrible line, but they had Chase there instead. And it was just unstoppable because they just had too many receivers for teams to deal with, and Burrow made it work without an offensive line. I don't think Brady can make that same call. I think if he does, he's asking for it. Armstead's good, but Armstead's injured a lot. He doesn't play a lot. That was the risk in signing him. That was part of the reason why New Orleans let him go. So I just wonder from a protection standpoint, I mean, every team that has Brady is going to try to get the ball out fast because that's what he did even when he was in New England. But I just wonder about that, like, he to me, not just a weather situation and dome and stuff because of his age, but I think he'd want to go to the team with the best line in free agency.
Well, I mean, listen,
just make everything else work.
Get to San Francisco, I guess that's different. But what team other than San Francisco is just a better situation than Miami that's reasonably available? Like, you could say Kansas City, but, like, obviously Mahomes is not leaving. Buffalo, out, you know what I mean? Like, that reasonably he could get to that has more pieces in place than Miami. I can only think of San Francisco. I can't think of a second one.
But why would Miami want him over a younger quarterback who could probably at this point in their career maybe give you something close to Brady-like production?
Oh, different question.
I know it is. I'm now presenting this and adding this into the conversation. So you're saying for Brady, it's probably what? San Francisco 1, Miami 2, maybe the Raiders 3?
Yeah, and I think there's a huge drop-off there.
From 2 to 3.
Okay. Yeah, a huge drop-off.
Okay. Do you think that among the so-called available quarterbacks, Miami would look at Brady as the best one?
I think that Stephen Ross would. And he signs the checks.
Right. Because he's the Michigan guy. And he tampered with him and lost a first-round pick over him. He wanted him so bad. Well, there's your answer then. Because I don't think that would be McDaniel's answer. But
I think that McDaniel's answer would probably be Derek Carr. Just because... Because
I was just going to say off the conversation we just had, why wouldn't he prefer Lamar Jackson?
That's interesting.
You've got those wide receivers and you've got a quarterback who can run. How the hell would you defend that?
Do they have...
No, they traded the first round pick for Chubb like idiots.
Well, right. That's what I was going to say. They don't have what it takes to trade for Lamar.
Depends how Baltimore wants to do it. Baltimore's weird about some of the stuff they do with picks and whatnot. They're always stockpiling those compensatory picks. I know they did trade a first. They got a first back for Brown. So they have made trades like that. But who knows what they would want.
That would surprise me a little bit, but God, would I love to see that. Like Lamar going from the best receiver he's ever had is Hollywood Brown to Tyreek Hill and
well, what if, Watt. It would take incredible balls like what Le'Veon Bell did with the Steelers, which backfired. What if Lamar Jackson said, I won't sign the franchise tag. I won't play unless you trade me to Miami. Find a way to do it. That's where I grew up. That's who I want to play for. Do it.
Yeah, that would be.
That happens in the NBA all the time.
Oh, of course. Of course. And it's happening more in the NFL. It would be quite a power play by Lamar coming off of missing the last 5 games plus the playoffs plus not playing well. Like, that would be the most, the heat check with the guy who hasn't been on fire move that we've seen in a while. But I would respect it. I'd respect it.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, let's talk about your Giants. They're getting a lot of love this week. Trendy upset pick. You buying? You agreeing?
Well, this is so funny. This game is basically the way that it's been talked about all week. The love for the Giants is really just a disguised way of expressing your hatred towards the Vikings. That's all people are doing. They're just using the Giants as a way. Picking the Giants is not a way of trying to promote like the Giants having a surprise season or believing in what they're going to do or what they will do or what they've built. It's just, how can I slander the Vikings in the most hurtful way possible? Oh, the Giants, who aren't any good, are going to go there and beat them. That's what this is.
And I will be honest with you, I agree.
Yes.
Like, but I have called both of these teams frauds all year. And so what I said, I texted a buddy today, which leg of the Giants-Bengals 6-point tease loses? Giants up to 9, Bengals down to 2.5. How does that lose? I mean, you could obviously, it feels much more likely that the Minnesota could win by double digits because the Giants aren't very good. But I feel like the Giants should be able to move the ball on Minnesota. And this stat just jumped out at me before you answer that question. Bill Barnwell put it like this, because anybody could look up Football Outsiders DVOA and see that Minnesota's 27th in the NFL in DVOA. But he put it as, the only teams with a worse DVOA than the Vikings either fired their coach or are the Chicago Bears. Like, Minnesota, now the Giants are 22nd. Like, they're not great either.
Yeah.
But that's how disappointing and bad Minnesota's been.
Well, even if you go by, so even the season Kirk Cousins had, which it's interesting. Like, I thought that the Vikings overall season would be a way for people to just pile on Cousins, but I think people have just been doing that for so long, it like isn't effective anymore. Like, it doesn't move the needle at all.
No.
To just go after Cousins. So he is 4th in the league in passing yards. The only guys ahead of him are Mahomes, Herbert, and Brady. So that's pretty rarefied air, right? If you go to QBR, here are the quarterbacks this year who were below him. Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Mac Jones, Davis Mills, Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield. So he is, I think Dan Orlovsky put out a quarterback ranking today. If you go by that stat, he's the worst quarterback in the playoffs. And his team's 13-4. And he was 4th in the league in passing yards.
That's pretty ridiculous. QBR, though...
You don't like QBR now? You're anti-QBR?
Well, no. I'm just saying it does factor. I think the only knock on QBR, right, is that it like people think it overvalues running for a quarterback. Like, there's no perfect stat, but I think that's one of the things with QBR, and obviously he's a statue. But as are all the guys that you just mentioned that are below him. But I think the bigger thing with Minnesota, we've talked about it all year, is their defense. They don't force turnovers. They don't cover people. They don't rush the passer. So pretty much, 400 yards a game is easy against them. I would assume the Giants would be able to run the ball against them.
But isn't it crazy that they get no credit for the Buffalo win?
Yeah.
That's as good of a win as any team in football really has this year. What they did there, the plays that got made late in that game to win that.
You're right. So your answer would just be Minnesota plays a good game at home in the postseason against
this is so weird. I said 0% chance that the Ravens win. I said that a few minutes ago. But for, like, John Harbaugh has a reputation for winning road playoff games. He's won a ton of them. But I just think his quarterback situation is so bad that I just can't fathom seeing them. I can see them losing a close game. The 2.5 number, so that's my hangup. If you said 3.5, I would say I could see the Ravens losing that game on a late field goal.
Well, that's why the tease is good. It gets it under 7.3. So the Bengals, if anyone's teasing anything this weekend, you're teasing the Bengals. The Bengals are like the most obvious teaser we've seen in a while in the playoffs. But like, I think doing it with New York, back-to-back games on Sunday is, and I say I think, I know, I've already put it in, but that's going to be my Sunday enjoyment. And I would suggest, I'll throw it out there, as we're undefeated, we've done 3 bets, we're 3-0 in show bets. I would deposit our first teaser Bengals to 2.5, Giants up to 9 is what I would like to.
I would be on board with that if that's what you want to do.
That's what I would like to do. Okay. All right. That's what I would like to do.